K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Good morning. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this day, this beautiful day that the Lord has made. And we have a responsibility to rejoice and to be glad in it. We want to once again to share and to celebrate and honor our mothers on this day and wish you a blessed, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers on this day, the givers of life. Givers of life, those who nurture, those who take care of and feed us and clothe us and take care of us. We thank God for you mothers and all of you women on this day. We pray that God will continue to bless your womb, that you will continue to give birth spiritually. Some of y'all are way past that time of giving birth naturally. And so I don't believe too many Sarahs in the atmosphere, but if it is, we call Ripley's Believe It or Not and make a little bit of money off of you. But other than that, we thank God for all of you being here on this day. And the Lord wants to share with us a very special word today for a few moments. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Ninth chapter of Acts. Primarily we deal with this whole chapter, but with a few passages of scripture that we'll take from this chapter for message purposes. Thank God for our youth ministry and sharing so beautifully on this morning with us. You choir and our ushers, so beautiful. Young people helped receive our offering today. We just thank God for young people active in ministry. So thankful. So thankful. Are we truly a thankful people this morning? Are we truly thankful? Truly thankful. Could be worse, couldn't it? Could be worse. But God. So we don't come today for a funeral. We don't come for a memorial service. We come to lift the name of Jesus. So if that is not your objective today, we pray that it becomes your objective, that we lift the name of Jesus. And for those who are dealing with other issues, we pray that God will heal, that God will restore and deliver, and that he will take care of you and comfort you during this very difficult time. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, I want to encourage you to give it to God. For God knows what to do with it better than you do. If we could figure it out, we wouldn't be in any need for God, would it? If we could fix it, we wouldn't be in any need for God. And so that's why we have God as our strong tower, as our strength, to help us in the time of trouble, in the midst of the trouble. Amen? Amen. So y'all be encouraged. I know it's, you can say that easy, preacher, because it ain't you. Well, we've all gone through some things. We've all seen some things. How many of y'all today are testimonies of God's goodness? Anybody there just a testimony, a living testimony of the saving power of God? Anybody here today? Well, you, those who y'all are going through, I'm going to ask those who are testimony to stand. If you are a testimony of God's goodness, stand.
Hallelujah.
And if you are one who's going through right now, look around at what can happen. Look around at what will happen. Look at what's going to happen, shall come to pass. And that it won't be this way always. Better days are ahead. It may be a storm. It may be frightening. It may be loud. It may be just calamity. It may be so much going on. And it seems like when it rains, it pours. But from rain, if you know anything about rain, it prepares you for growth. Rain saturates the ground to make it just right for you to grow. So what can I grow from this? We've got to trust God today. No one has to have an answer. No one has to have a solution. God is the answer, and God is the solution. And so I challenge you today to give it to God. And by giving, don't just say I give it, but in your spirit, in your heart, give it to God. Surrender it. Let it go. Within your spirit, give it to God and watch him do this great work on your behalf. Why? Because he loves you and because he's true to his word. And if you trust him, I'm a testimony to all those who are standing. A testimony, if you just trust him, he will provide. And he'll do more than what you ask for if you trust him. Amen. 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 Acts chapter 9. Begin reading at verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayed. And have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And we'll stop right there. For a few moments, I want to share with you from the thought, an altered destiny. An altered destiny. A-L-T-E-R-E-D. Altered. Changed. Destiny. An altered destiny. Today, as a covering or as a general theme of today's message, we want to look at and never forget and be reminded of the awesome power of God, the omnipotence of God, meaning that God is all-powerful. And to be able to be a recipient of the power of God shows just how glorious he is, how wonderful he is, and it makes you want to love him more and to be and to follow him and to live under his word. All of us today that's hearing my voice, we were born headed to hell. All of us born, regardless if I was a preacher's son, a deacon's son, or if I was a drug abuser's son or alcoholic's son, we were all born with a destination for hell. All of us. Because of man's sin, there were some things that had to take place, that Jesus had to come, and we had to believe in Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected that third day morning for us to be saved from hell. And many of us have made that choice. Many of us have made that confession. Thus, we are saved from hell. How many of y'all today can celebrate knowing your destination? Does anybody here today know, and can anybody here rejoice in knowing that where I am today is not where I'm going to end up? See, when you understand that this is not what all life is about, this is not my final ending place. This is not where it all ends. This is not where the I's dot and the T's cross. I've got another destination. And the destination is not a cemetery. The destination is not a casket. The destination is not a grave. But we have a destination that we're going, that we're headed. Ultimately, we want to sit with our Father. Thanks be to God that he changed my destination. He could have easily let me go to hell. But if not for his grace and mercy, he gave me the opportunity, if I wanted, to change my destination. I wonder about many of us this morning. I look at your faces, I see your expressions. I wonder if many of us are excited about our destination. Any of us understand our destiny? We have allowed society for so long to gear us and to change us and to conform us and to maneuver in us, and we've begun to take on what the world offers us. But a child of God, a child of the Most High King, understands that this world is not what it's all about anyway. I'm only on this world. I'm only in this world. I'm only living right now on this side of glory to do all I can for my Father. But I understand that this is not my ending place. So in the midst of my storms, in the midst of my illness, in the midst of what's going on in my family, I still can rejoice because I know it doesn't stop here. And when the body of Christ begins to celebrate God, when the body of Christ begins to enjoy where I'm going, not where I am, when the body of Christ begins to take off all the things that have been holding me back and praise God anyway, we'll see some immediate results in our life. The more we hold on to where we are, we'll never get to where we're supposed to be. The more I hold on to what was in my past, I'll never get to my final destination. The more I keep what people said about me and holding me back and keeping me bound and bounding myself up, the more I keep not believing in myself and believing in my God, I am canceling and I'm nullifying my destination. I want to keep moving today. I want to walk with the Lord today. I want to go step by step, day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour. I want to walk with the Lord. I know some things may come my way, but I can't afford to stop because I see my destination. I'm not in a hurry to get to my destination. No, I like living. I enjoy living. I enjoy my heart beating. I thank God that my heart is still beating every day. No, I'm not going to speed up and try to go on to heaven. Y'all ain't either. If I need to take some medicine, I'm going to take my medicine. If I need to get some rest, I need to get some rest. I want to do all I can to make sure that God is doing what he wants to do in me before I reach my destination. Some of us trying to check out too soon to escape life. And I counsel that suicide spirit with the authority of the Holy Ghost right now. Many of you all are allowing hurts and pains and situations and people to make you want to stop living. And we counsel the assignment now in the name of Jesus. Mother's Day stirs up all this stuff. You got to realize Satan when Satan is there. He wants to stir you all up. You'll be doing good, and God has had you moving, you progressing. But then I still remember Mama. Oh, Mama. Oh, Mama. I ain't got no Mama. Oh, I'm an orphan. Well, brothers and sisters, I mean no harm. I mean no offense to you, but you're not the only one that lost a Mama. You're not the only one that lost a Daddy. God is still good regardless of who's here. If your mom and daddy been gone 30 and 40 years, you ought not be crying over mom and daddy. At some point in time, I've got to wake up, arise, and live my life. That's what I've got to do. That's my responsibility. You want to keep your mom and daddy's memory alive? Do what they taught you. Yeah. See, you ought to be happy about them knowing where they are at their destination. And I'm going to do all I can to meet them again one day. Yeah. Ain't no sense in me crying for somebody who wouldn't come back if they could. Wait a minute, my mama loved me. My mama loved me. She loved herself for me. She sure did. But she wouldn't come back. I promise you she wouldn't. If she done messed around and caught a glimpse of glory, she ain't coming back to this. And daddy ain't either. So y'all came for that today. That's not going to happen. Okay? That's not going to happen today. Nobody's going to feel sorry for God's people anymore. You see, we keep seeking somebody to feel sorry for me instead of me looking at myself and walking on and being a soldier that God called me to be. Yeah. I've got the power of God in me. I have got the spirit of the Almighty God in me. And you mean to tell me God would take, because somebody's not here anymore, that I'm not prepared to live on? If God wanted me, he'd have took me with him. Because obviously God got some more walking for me to do. So I can't afford to sit by the graveyard. Jesus ain't even in the grave anymore. No. So we got to stop this. We got to stop using pomp and circumstance and letting our emotions get the best of us. Let me preach. God's power changes lives. We're looking at a man named Saul. We all know the story of Saul. One who persecuted the church. He was actually present when they stoned Stephen, the first deacon we know in the New Testament church, the very first deacon. He saw, he took part, he consented to, according to Acts 8, he consented to the death, the stoning of Stephen. He knew the law. He knew the word of God, but didn't believe in the word of God. He heard of Jesus, but didn't believe in what Jesus could do. See, he was a Pharisee, one of God's chosen people, one of the Jews, but he got so crazy thinking about his ways. He got so thrown off thinking that because I'm doing the good stuff, and see, I want to be bound, and I want to be bound believing that as long as I do the right thing, God's going to hear me. Jesus came to save everybody, but the Pharisees didn't want everybody saved. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus came to touch that leper. Jesus came to touch that sinner. Jesus came to touch those who were broken. The Pharisees were in church every day, thinking that those people didn't belong in the church. We've got many of us who are some Sauls today. We don't believe certain folks deserve salvation. We don't believe certain people deserve to be healed. We don't think certain people deserve to be brought out. I got mine, but I'm not really concerned about you getting yours. Many of us are some Sauls today because we believe that because I've always been here, I ought to have the anointing, and the one who came in just now and being sincere has an anointing. And when they have an anointing, I get jealous. And so I'm jealous of Jesus. I'm jealous of what Jesus is doing in you because I've been here all the time. I've been taught to be a good little boy. I've been taught to be a good little girl. Why is it that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? See, very seldom do we teach our young people and teach our people why it's important to do right. We tell them it's important to do right so you can get a reward. And that's how come many of us looking to God wondering why I ain't got my car, why I don't have my husband, why I don't have my house. I've been coming to church like you said. I've been feeding the poor like you said. I've been going to the hospitals like you told me. Where is mine? But see, God says your heart wasn't right. Your motive wasn't right. Your motive wasn't right in what you were doing. You did it so people could pat you on the back. You did it so everybody would see you. But when God does a work in you, God wants you to see God and not you. The greatest ambassadors for Christ are those who didn't want to do it. You got to watch folks who always want to be in the forefront. Let's go be for free here. You got to watch folks who always want to be seen and always want to be heard. You got to watch folks like who always want to be the leader and never the follower. Those people are Pharisees who abide by the law but don't understand the grace. Oh, y'all missing me this morning. See, I am a recipient of God's grace. Let me help the house today. All y'all who feeling convicted right now, feeling like you nervous about being in church because you don't want nobody looking at you funny. Amen, Walls. See, some of y'all right now got your heads down and you're a little shy because the church has made you believe you don't deserve even being here. Yeah. You might have been at the club last night. Thank God you're here. You might be drunk as a skunk right now. I thank God you're here. You might be high as a mink coat right now. I thank God you're here. Yeah. See, Pharisees believe that certain folks don't even deserve to be in the temple. And so Pharisees base things on how you dress, how you look. Look at that boy with his pants hanging down off his butt. Look at that girl with that short dress on. It's a shame. See, that's law stuff. That's law. Now, grace lets me know that it could have been me. Grace reminds me that it was me. Grace reminds me that it should have been me. But the grace of God chose me for this season to pull me out from under the law. And so now I'm not worried about meeting your criteria. I'm under the grace of God. And because I'm a recipient of God's grace, I can easily follow the law. So now I know why I need to pull my pants up. I know why I need to pull my skirt down, young lady. I know why it's wrong to cheat and to lie and steal. But for so long, we cheat the commandments. See, commandments, oh, Lord, help me today. Commandments bind people to meet criteria that the church sets. And so I take my focus off pleasing God, and I try to please some folks. This is where we come in with just lie about church clothes. What does it say in the Bible? Put on your church clothes to hear from God. You got to be dressed in a suit to hear from God. Where does it say that? Y'all tell me. Y'all got these new amplified versions. I'm listening. I'm waiting. Don't let people fool you into believing you got to have on a seersucker suit to hear from God. There's some people really dressed up going to hell. Yeah. Yeah. There's some people with a bad, headed for a terrible destination and looking like they should be. Let me preach. So Saul, critiquing the church, critiquing Jesus, persecuting. Matter of fact, he took it too far. He had a great zeal for what he was doing. He was excited about judging the church. Excited about condemning folks and condemning them. Saul never looked at himself. Never said, look where Saul is measuring up. But he was taught this. Many of us are taught to do right, but we're not teaching us why it's important to do right. And that's why I can't do enough. Let me free the house once again. I can't do enough for God's grace. Yeah, I done got in trouble. I can't do enough for God to put his hand on me. Y'all are wearing yourselves out coming to church for God to see you. God saw you at the house. God sees you on the job. God ain't just looking in here. See, I don't serve the Lord in the church. Sunday is not where I serve the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't serve the Lord here. So I can't check this off on my to-do list, my Christian to-do list. I made it for Mother's Day. Next up is Father's Day. 4th of July. Christmas. Easter Sunday morning. I've met my Christian criteria. I've gone to Bible study. Yeah, took care of it. What did you learn? Nothing, but I went. I went to Sunday school. What did you gain from God? Nothing, but I was there. The man of God preached today. What did he preach about? I don't know, but I was there. Yeah. That's why come y'all showing up and can't praise God, because you think that as long as I'm here, God ought to be happy. Ain't we crazy? Ain't we foolish? Showing up like we're doing God a favor. All powerful God, and he needs a little bit of me to do his work. And so he desired for the high priest letters. He wanted documentation. He wanted official paperwork to go and condemn the church. Ain't that stupid? He wanted official verification. He wanted the high priest went to them to get authorization to go condemn the church. Don't you know God is bigger than the law? Oh, we're going to take prayer out of schools, the devil says, and we're allowing it. But see, prayer is not just our Father. I can think on him and pray to him. Government can't hold me back from my praise. The Constitution can't hinder my walk with the Lord. At our school, we have a moment of silence. A moment of silence. And the average such and such running their mouths during a moment of silence. Take prayer out of schools. But it's supposed to be one nation under God, huh? But I'm going to take prayer out of schools. But it's one nation under God. And if he found any on this way, if he found anybody of this way who I find them, Lord, if I find them, high priest, them people praising God, and if they mention the name Jesus, I'm gonna lock them up. Give me the paperwork. Give me the warrant. I'll go get them. I'm on my way to go persecute the church. Oh, but as he journeyed. Now, it's not him walking. It didn't say as he went. It's as he journeyed. Oh, brothers and sisters, hadn't you learned yet that life is a journey? There's some things you go see. There's some things you go experience. Life is a journey. And you, many of us have been in some crazy mentalities on this journey. Many of us have been just as crazy as a road lizard on this journey.
Some of us are still crazy on this journey. And you're going to stay on this journey, and it won't be a vacation. You're going to be on a journey until you get your mind right. Wait, slow down, slow down. What the Lord is saying is that many of y'all are considering this a journey because your mind ain't right. See, when it's a journey, it's troublesome. Long. Lord, wear me out. So, but if when it becomes a walk with the Lord, when it becomes a vacation, when in other words, when it becomes a trip to me, I don't look at it as a journey. Y'all finna miss me. Y'all finna miss me. A journey is troublesome. A journey is burdensome. Oh, Lord, I got to go to church. That's a journey. Oh, Lord, I got to sing in the choir. You on a journey. Oh, Lord, I got to preach to these people again. That's been on the journey. But when I start saying, I get to go to the house of the Lord, I'm on a trip. I get to worship and praise my God. I'm on a vacation. I'm excited about where I'm going. I know what's there ahead of me, so I'm excited about being in the presence of the Almighty God. But most of us, I'm in a journey. Lord, I don't feel like going to church today. The Lord better be glad I love him. Ham better be glad I love him. Because this other time, what bad as I feel, I know where I am. Bad as I'm feeling today, Lord, the way my back feel, the way my stomach been tore up, my feet swole up the size of a watermelon. Nobody told me anything. The Lord just showed it. I want you to know that, okay? Nobody said a word. And so when I take that mentality as it's a journey, anything I do for the Lord, it's going to be miserable. But y'all putting yourselves through some misery that you have to put yourself through. See, this is I keep telling y'all don't believe me. This is a faith-based institution. And you can't half-heartedly do this. That means I've got to love this to be effective at it. So some of y'all are wondering why there's no anointing anymore. It's because you're journeying. Y'all looking at it wrong. Y'all looking at it, and then if you don't show up, you figure somehow that God won't bless it because you wasn't here. Let me go and get back to the church. Let me go and get up there because they ain't going to know how to do nothing if I ain't there. Ain't gonna be no Holy Ghost there if I don't show up. You just as ignorant as you can be, and I'm gonna tell you to your face. Ignorant! To take this kind of mentality toward the people of God and towards God, y'all ought to be shaming yourselves. To take that mentality thinking it can't nothing happen without you. There was a church before you. If the rapture don't come, it's gonna be a church after you. Now, if you want your own temple, go name it after yourself and leave us alone. Well, let me preach. Whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And you know, the ignorant part about this, the foolish part, and I hate to keep calling us all this, but see, many of us are so, we don't know like we think we know. And that's why many of us are headed in the wrong destination, and we think we're going the right way. We think we're doing something great. We think we're headed up the king's highway, and the king ain't nowhere around. Jerusalem was the holy city. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, just that quick, a shine round about him, a light from heaven. Now, this took place at noonday. The middle of the day, high noon. Where's the sun at high noon? Somebody tell me, where is it, Stacy? Yeah, the sun up, Stacy. We know that. Where at in the sky was the sun? Where? Straight up, beaming right down at the brightest part of the day. So you mean tell me it was a light that was brighter than the sun? Can you imagine the power and the majesty of seeing a light brighter than the Son? Many of us are in the dark and trying to use a flashlight at daylight. Why? Because I don't see the daylight. All I'm seeing is darkness. And so I'm trying to turn on my flashlight in the darkness. But can you imagine the light that could be brighter than the sun? We can't even stand looking at the sun now. Mess around and stare at the sun if you want to. That's probably wrong with some of us. We done fried our brain. That's all it is. We looked up there too long, and it just done tore us up. This is before global warming. This is before the ozone and all that foolishness. The sun, bright, shining sun, and a light brighter than that suddenly comes. Now, it's different than any other light. It had to be a light from heaven. Keep that point. And this light was so great, this light was so magnificent, it was so marvelous, that it made him fall to the earth. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See, sometimes when we get so caught up in ourselves, the Lord has to knock us down. We have to be brought down a peg or two. You ever seen folks just a little bit too? I really don't even know the words I want to say with that. Folks are just a little bit too holy, too intelligent, too powerful. And the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, knocks you down. That's what some of y'all are experiencing right now. You got too puffed up. The Lord blessed you and you start thinking you did it. You stop saying thank you, Jesus, and start looking at your intellect. That's all it is. That's all it is. I'm telling you now. You got too big for your britches. Now, the Lord didn't stop loving you. Matter of fact, the Lord loved you so much that he knocked you down to help you remember who's really in charge of this thing. Yeah. The Lord ain't required to take your money. The Lord's not required to bother your body. Y'all know when the Lord done came. And when you are in the presence of the Almighty God, you can't help but fall to your knees. And that's why many of us, and I understand why, hear me good, many of us avoid the presence of God. Many of us don't want the presence of God. Many of us will never or don't want to or have not sought the presence of God, because the presence of God is nobody but you and God. Notice now, he didn't say Saul and all the mother boys is with you. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So that takes away this lie from you talking about other folks and you want to be guilt by association. This walk with the Lord is between you and the Lord. So that's why I can't lie on my poor mama who gone to glory. My mama gone to sleep. Ain't no sense of me lying on my childhood why I can't do no better. If the Lord wants to deal with me, he gonna say, Tamel, Tamel, why have you persecuted me? He's not gonna say, why has your family persecuted me? What was wrong with y'all? I feel sorry for you. It wasn't your fault. It was their fault bringing you up like that. No, because Saul messed around and exposed himself to truth. And when you expose yourself to truth, you are now responsible to live in the truth. Ain't no more childhood. Ain't no more habits. Ain't no more, well, you don't understand what I went through. You don't understand my environment. God don't want to hear your excuses. God wants you to live for him. All these excuses we're making, well, it's Winfield. Ain't nothing in Winfield. Oh, I'm black. So? You ain't the only black person. I could see if you was the only one made in that color you is. I could see if you the only one ever had a single parent home. I could see you the only one who ain't have to deal with, you ain't the only one who had to deal with rape. Y'all mad at the preacher today. Because the preacher ain't gonna let you have no pity party. We better stop these excuses because, see, y'all have messed around. You're in the house today, and many of y'all I've seen have been to church before. Y'all have heard the truth before, and since you've heard it, you're responsible for it. How long you gonna keep denying what God is telling you? Do you want to be knocked down before you can look up? Saul didn't have to be knocked down, but Saul got too crazy. It'd have been much easier if he just did what the Lord say do and at least keep his mouth closed. And life could have been a lot easier. No, he on his way. He went and got official papers. And he fell to the earth. Him falling to the earth. Listen to this good. Here's what God blesses us. Him falling to the earth is him. Is symbolism of our humility before God. You've got to fall not to the ground, but to the earth. Y'all missing it. I don't want to fall to the ground. See, we think to get on our knees is something special. But when I fall to the earth, that reminds me of where I come from. That reminds me of what I used to be. And if it had not been for God breathing air in me, I wouldn't be here today. I'm nothing but dust, walking with the grace and the air that God breathed into me. No, I take my vitamins and I eat my vegetables. Foolish. Foolish. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Now, Saul understanding what's going on, but he don't want to admit he knows what's going on. Who art thou, Lord? He know it's something powerful going on. He know it's something beyond his power, his control going on. So the least he's trying to do is say, Who art thou, Lord? Saul knew good and well who that was talking to him. The Lord speaks to us in ways that we know is him, but we still trying to, Who, is that you, Lord, telling me? I don't know what the Lord really saying. Is that really him? Y'all know it's the Lord talking to you. Yes, y'all do. I think the Lord told me to bless him. You know the Lord told you that. I think I'm supposed to pray for him. I don't know. He made me mad. You know you're supposed to pray for him. Who art thou, Lord? I mean, who is this? I can't see. Who is this? I don't know what's going on with me. I don't know why the Lord doing. I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know why I can't sleep at night. I don't know why I'm so troubled in my spirit. I don't know why I can't stop praying. I don't know why he keep putting people in my spirit, in my mind. It's the Lord. And we got the nerve to look around asking, who is it? What other power you know can knock you to your knees and give a light brighter than the sun, and you don't know who it is? Still trying to deny the power of God. And when you deny the power of God, you are preparing for destruction. Did y'all know that? When you start putting other things before God, you messing yourself up. And that includes people. Oh, yeah. Y'all, I love them. I love them. I just love. My heart pants and my thought consumes my thoughts and I can't eat no more because I'm thinking of you. You crazy. You need to eat. That's just as dumb as it can be. You won't eat and nourish yourself because you in love. Yeah. Well, if they love you for how you look, if you go get frail not eating. Oh, God, you're the air that I breathe. No, they not. What was you doing before they came along? You was breathing before they came along. You're the air that I breathe. You are the reason for being. God is your reason for being. Stop putting that kind of stuff on people. that they ain't asked for. Don't put people on the pedestal. God's the only one deserves to be on that pedestal. Oh, you in love, folks, mad at me right now. That was going to be your wedding vows, wasn't it? That was going to be your vow. Y'all wrote your own vows and tell that lie. You are. You are the French fries to my Happy Meal. Every Happy Meal don't have to have French fries. You get tater tots or apple. So put that on people. That's for free. That's for free. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. See, when you play crazy, see, some of us play crazy. I don't know if that's the Lord. He'll go even further and tell you who he is and who you are and what you did. And that's why many of us deny the power of God, because the power of God is going to cause you to be naked before God. And when the Lord sees you, ain't you just, when some of y'all know when the Lord done saw you. Say, for instance, today. The Lord has called you out on some things already, and you just pretty much naked before him. And so now you're fidgety. You got to go to the bathroom. You make that baby wake up so he can start crying so you can take him out. Oh. Ah! Oh, let me get my baby. Baby's sleeping and resting. You woke him up because you don't want to face. Yes, Lord. I know y'all. I know. The Lord showed this. It ain't me, okay? It's hard to sit there in the presence of God and just be hard and pride. See, the Lord stripped you of that pride. When you're in his presence, you ain't deacon. You ain't rep. You ain't pastor. You ain't evangelist. You ain't apostle. You ain't nothing but his child. When he deals with you where you are, you're nothing but his child. And he's going to be honest with you and tell you exactly what you did and what you need to do to get yourself lined up. Now, the Lord came at this time to change Saul's destination. He didn't necessarily change the destination, but he altered it so that his destination would be a blessing to him as opposed to a curse. The Lord loves the fact that you're coming to church. He loves the fact that you're coming to Bible study, but the Lord wants you to alter why you're coming. Don't come to me, God says, seeking stuff. Don't come to me seeking things. That's not what I'm about, God is saying to us. God says, seek me, and everything else will take care of itself. I want you just to love me. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to develop a relationship with me, and then when you do that, everything else will take care of itself. Because when you spend more time with me, you're going to start being just like me. You're going to have my power. You're going to have my spirit. You're going to have my glory. So stuff can't help but come to you. You're going to be attracted to blessings. You're going to be a magnet. God says you're going to be a magnet to blessings and prosperity if you seek me. Y'all ever seen a magnet that's attached to, that can easily draw onto a metal, but when you put something in between it, when you put something in between it, it does away with the attraction. There's no more power in the bond anymore, and so it's not sticking together. I've got to make sure that I am close to God and that I'm attracted to God and I stay connected to him. If I allow stuff to get in the way, I can't hear from God. I can't be close to him. I want to be close to him. I want to be bound to him. I want to be stuck to him so that everything else is going to be stuck to us. Y'all missing me. So he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now what he's saying is, what you're doing, you're preparing yourself for destruction. I'm telling you right now, you keep on what you're doing, you go be in a world of trouble, Saul. I'm giving you a chance. The Lord has told some of us in his own way to you in his own special way. It may have been through the preached word. It may have been through a song. It may have been through someone prophesying to you. It may have been through you having to go through something. Matter of fact, you could have been in the jail cell. And the Lord, he started dealing with you. No, the Lord, he only talked to you at church. That's a lie. See, you could actually be on the bed, in the hospital bed, preparing for surgery, and the Lord deal with you. You could have had the pipe right here. right here, and the Lord started dealing with you. It's even more powerful. It shows just how much more the Lord loves you when the Lord shares with you in the midst of your wrong. How glorious is it that God will show up in your mess and bring you out of it? We try to clean up and come here and fake and think the Lord will bless me. Sometimes the Lord will let you do you, and he's going to come deal with you right where you are. And not only does it change you, but it changes your whole environment. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? Let's keep reading. He trembling and astonished said, Lord, now he understands who it is. Now it's Jesus. Okay, I thought I recognized your voice, Jesus. I thought that was you. I didn't know. What would thou have me to do? Now you want to be obedient. When you've been in the presence of God, when you've been before God, and he done called you out and told you what you're doing is wrong, okay, what you want me to do then, Lord? How crazy could you be to not want to be obedient? You done been in the presence of God. And I speak now to y'all who trying to deny it, who trying to buffet it, that the presence of God just overtake you. That you can't run far enough to escape God's presence. In the name of Jesus. Because in the presence of God is safety and security. And we are in a day today where you have got to know Jesus. You've got to. How much more has to happen for us to realize I've got to have a walk with the Lord? Yeah. Now I got quiet. I can get on Facebook and Twitter all I want to and put things out there. Some things, I must say this, and y'all can get mad all you want. There are some things that can be avoided if we just adhere to God's voice. All this Saul went through could have been avoided if he just accepted Jesus. Did Jesus say that I'm upset with you because you didn't do right? Because you didn't come to church every day? Because you didn't become a deacon? Because you didn't dot your I and cross your T? He said, simply because you persecuted me. And when you deny the power of God, you are persecuting God. When you continue to live as though he doesn't exist, you are persecuting him. We as a people are putting Jesus back on the cross as though he didn't already give it up for us. We are doing that. We are persecuting him when we don't live up to what he's already set for us. Living like a failure, that's persecuting God. Don't have any faith, that's persecuting God. Won't love and forgive, that's persecuting God. Won't follow directions, that's persecuting God. And the longer we do that, the longer we're preparing for altered destiny. I thank God today for such a prophetic word and such a right now word. Because how much more senseless calamity has to happen before we seek God and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? There are some things going on, and I want you, and you go tell them I said it. There are some things going on that don't have to go on. There are some consequences that don't have to be experienced. So when these things happen, I know I'm on the air. Don't you lie on God and say that God needed precious flowers, his heavenly bouquet. He plucked them out. The Lord is not in. Do what you must do. Say what you must say. But the Lord is not in that. And how dare we put that on God, but we won't put positive stuff on God. When somebody gets healed, it had to be just the doctor. Somebody gets delivered, it had to be the counselor. But when somebody gets killed or shot or murdered or arrested for drugs or whatever, it's got to be God doing it. Tornadoes tearing up stuff, it's got to be God. Hurricanes destroying, it's got to be God. Earthquakes tearing up stuff, it's got to be God trying to do something. But when people are blessed, it's not God. Look at our mentality. And look at how our destiny is going to be altered. with a feeble mentality. Saul thought he had a great understanding based on what he had learned from people. But you have to take what you learn from people and what God gives you through his spirit to live this life. And what you learn from God is going to sometimes not go along with what the law tells you. Yeah. So you can't base it on people and stuff. What does the God spirit say? But the only way I'm going to hear from God is knowing God. Having a relationship with God. Warning comes before destruction. Warning is coming in the midst of destruction. Warning comes after destruction. But the people of God still won't adhere to the warning. I want our destiny to be with him. Saul, through the power of God, could not see because the Lord blinded him so he wouldn't look at things through the same way he'd been looking at it. That's why the Lord takes you away from people. And that's why the Lord takes some people away from you. So that you'll start seeing God and you'll start seeing things by faith. He had to trust those men with him because see, those men were not blinded. They didn't see the light. They didn't see that great light. They heard a voice, but they didn't see it the way Saul saw it. When God deals with you, other folks ain't gonna see it the way you seeing it. What God is doing in you, it don't have to make sense to other people. It doesn't have to make sense to other people what the Lord is doing in you. You don't need other people's amen. You don't need other people's approval. When God brings you out of something, you don't need other people to tell you that God ain't do it. When you know for yourself the Lord has brought you out, I can trust him without even looking. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'll walk through. For we walk by faith and not by sight. How in the world can you walk and not be able to see what's going on around you? How can you go to your destiny without seeing it, without it making sense to you? You must be taken by the Spirit of God. You must allow God, come here, Mr. Tate. You must allow God to lead you. I can't see a thing. I don't know what's going on around me. I don't know, but see, if I look at y'all, y'all go say, something ain't right with him. He ain't been healed. He ain't been delivered. They gonna remind you what you used to be. They gonna remind you how you used to persecute. But that ain't what God showed me. But yet I'm gonna keep looking and seeing people I want to accept me and seeing people I want to believe in me. I don't wanna lose no friends. I don't wanna lose my homies. I don't wanna lose the people I grew up with. I don't wanna lose my family. So I got to keep looking at this. And if I keep looking at what around me, I'm gonna be discouraged. If I keep looking at things as it is. With God, you don't look at things as it is. You look at things how they can be. What it should be, what it's going to be. Yeah. If I look at things as they are, I would get discouraged. Yeah. But I must let the Spirit lead me and close my eyes. And while I got my eyes closed, I'm just praying and trusting him. I'm speaking to him. I'm saying, Jesus, I love you. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I know you'll never leave me. I know you'll never forsake me. I trust you. You saved my life. You changed my destiny. I ain't got no choice, God. I've got to follow you. I've got to stay with you. Don't let your hand go. Keep me in fellowship. Keep me in communion. Keep me with you. Let me walk with you. Let me talk with you. Let me be with you. Let me share with you. Let me praise with you. Let me worship with you. Don't leave me. Don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave me, God. Don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave me, God. You've changed my life. You've changed my direction. You've changed my life. You've changed my direction. You changed what I used to do. You changed who I used to be. I'm not Saul anymore. I'm Paul now. I'm not even what I used to be. I've got to trust you. I'm going to stay with you. I got a destination. My destiny has been altered. My destiny has been altered. That had to make sense. doesn't have to make sense.